Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Why did you come to church today? Why? What's the purpose? What's the point? Why did you get up this morning on your day off, roll out of bed, maybe say some prayers, put on some of your best clothes, get the children together, wrangle them, feed them in some cases, try to make them look presentable and get out the door? Why would you do such a thing? The world would have you wonder. Now, did you come today because you wanted to look more righteous or better than other people? Did you put on your best suit because you wanted to try to look better than the other men? Did you put on your best dress and in some cases even wear a veil because you wanted to show that you are better than everyone else? I highly doubt that that is the truth for any of you. Now, if it is, I ask that you repent of that sinful desire. But more likely, you did it because you know that this is where God wants you to be. You did it not because you believe that you're more righteous than everybody else, but because you identify with that tax collector, that publican. And you fall to your knees, beating your breast, "God, be merciful to me, the sinner. I am not worthy to come into the habitation of your house. I am not worthy of your word and your sacraments. I am not worthy to be called your son or your daughter. I'm not worthy even to lift my head up to gaze upon you." You likely wore your best suit or your best clothes, not to try to judge others, but because you recognized that you were coming to the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. This foretaste, this beautiful wedding gift that was presented to you, not because you earned it, but because you have a father that loves you. My guess is that you donned that dress today, or also possibly a veil or head covering or hat, not because you believe you are more righteous, but because you believe that God's word indicates that you are to submit to him, the head. We do these things not to save ourselves. What you wore to church today cannot save you. We do them because we want to, in all things, give glory to God and his holy name. You are gathered here today, even though it's your off day, or maybe you have to go work second shift. You're gathered here today, even though you could have slept in, because you know that God has commanded and he has promised to be here with you. That in his word preached, you are reminded that though you are a sinner, Jesus Christ died for you. That is why you are here. The Holy Spirit has encouraged you to be here. He has urged you to be here in the presence, following the will of the Father. You have come because you know that the TV screen cannot give you the blessed sacrament of our Lord's body and blood. You have gathered because you know that where the gathering of the saints are, the cloud of witnesses are present as well. That as Jesus Christ will bodily come to us in his body and blood, that what we eat and drink is his body and blood, in, with, and under the bread and wine, we will receive the forgiveness of sins. And that the whole host of heaven, the whole cloud of witnesses that have gone before us in the faith, are with him as well. The angels, the archangels, that whole company is present and rejoicing. You have come because there is no place else that all these things are true. When you pray at your house, God hears your prayer. When you ask for his forgiveness, God grants it. When you are praying as you are driving because God has allowed you not to be hit by that car that swerved past you, God hears your prayer and he answers it. We give thanks to him. there is nowhere else but his churches, his holy habitation, where his Spirit so dwells and the sacrament is bestowed. The Pharisee, the one who looked down on everyone else, believing himself to be better, did not walk away declared righteous by God. He had declared himself righteous, but that is not how it works. It must be God's declaration. Is it good to pray? Is it good to fast? Is it good to tithe? Is it good not to be an adulterer or an extortioner or unjust? Absolutely. But if I do these things so that I can feel like I am better than everyone else, then I am not. If instead I recognize that I have a problem, and that problem is that I am born with original sin, conceived in my mother's womb with this original sin, something that I cannot shake off myself. If instead I humbly look to the cross and I see how much my God truly loves me and I cry out for his mercy, he has washed me. He has put his baptismal garment upon you, his wedding garment upon you, so that when the Father looks at you, no longer does he sit and stare at your sins, the things that you cannot get rid of yourself. Instead, he looks at his Son. God be merciful to me, chief of sinners, though I am. And he is. He is merciful. Give consideration to the difference of this declaration, where Jesus says that man instead goes righteous back to his home. That this day you have confessed your sins, you will receive the body and blood of Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and when you walk out of those doors, you are a forgiven child of God, reminded by the reception of his gifts. Now think about Cain. Cain was a man born after the fall into sin. Moses writes, because God told him to, about two sons, Cain and Abel. Cain was the firstborn son. In fact, his mother thought so much and so highly of him that she believed that this was the Messiah, that this was from the Lord, and that he would save her from her sins. So much so that Abel is largely an afterthought. Oh, how wrong she was. God had told them that when you eat of it, you will surely die. She ate and she did not see death immediately. But now she had to watch as her firstborn son, the one that she thought would be her Messiah, she had to watch as he had taken the life of his brother, the fruit of her womb. The blood of Abel cried out to God. Abel was received by God and placed into heaven. He had given his first fruits, whereas Cain gave begrudgingly. Cain gave not from a place of faith. How do we do it? Do we do it begrudgingly? Or do we recognize that God loves a cheerful giver? Do we recognize that everything we have is a gift from him to be used for him in his kingdom according to his righteousness? Why do we do what we do? Is it to feel better about ourselves, or is it to give glory to God's holy name? Cain did not have his heart in the right place, and he took his brother's life because Abel's was. The world will look at you with the same anger and hatred that Cain had for his brother Abel. Not because you tout yourself as better than them, but because you recognize that you are not better than them. But yet you still have joy because Jesus is. because his blood is your righteousness. St. Paul understood this very well. St. Paul, a man named Saul, had persecuted the church. He had them rounded up, arrested, and put to death for confessing the saving name of Jesus Christ. And yet God would knock him down from his horse, shine the brightness of the glory of Jesus, and Jesus himself would come to this man and say, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" Because when you persecute the bride of Christ, his church, you are persecuting the husband, Jesus. Saul, stop it. Follow the better way. Use the zeal that you have for these things. Use it instead to glorify my holy name. Think about your passions in life. If you would redirect those passions to give glory to God's holy name, if you would redirect the time you spend studying stats for sports teams, and instead study the books of the Bible and in prayer, and instead give glory to God's holy name about these things to the around the water cooler on Monday or with your family at Sunday dinner this evening. If you would devote yourself to these things, think about the glory of God that is revealed. You don't do that to look better than everyone else. You do that because you recognize that you are the sinner, but that Jesus Christ has died to wash away your sins. Paul recognized that he was unworthy to be called an apostle, unworthy to be called by Jesus himself, to be sent by him. That's what apostle means, a sent one. And yet he acknowledged it. He acknowledged God's grace so much that he acknowledged that he is what he is only by God's grace. Do we see that in our own stations? That we are a husband or a wife, a mother or a father, a child in the household that has been granted to us, a laborer, an office worker. All of these things are to give glory to God's holy name. We live not for ourselves, not to get ahead in this world, but we live to give glory to God. So, dear Christian, I encourage you that on this Labor Day weekend, when you could have been anywhere else, you gathered. You gathered to be reminded, yes, you are a sinner, but that Jesus loves you, that he died for you. And that by his death, by his resurrection, you have security, not in the things of this life, but in eternity. So lay up your treasures not for earth, but lay them up for heaven, where moth and rust cannot destroy. Follow Jesus to salvation. The church sings, "Firmly to our soul's salvation, witnesses your spirit, Lord, in your sacraments and word. There he sends true consolation, giving us the gift of faith, that we fear not hell nor death." Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.